Take it verse by verse. We're in Titus chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse number 16. I don't think we got to 16 last time, but let's read 16 of Titus chapter 1. And then we'll go to chapter 2, 1 to 2. Titus 1, 16, 2, 1 and 2. All right, start at verse 16 together. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and of every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Right, verse 16. The writer is whom? Paul. He's writing to
Titus.
And what is Titus's, what's his job? The pastor. Okay, pastor, bishop, elder at the Isle of Crete. And Crete is in the ocean right there close by. That little green thing, that's Crete right there. Not too far from Corinth, not too far from Ephesus, right there in the middle. And as a pastor, did Paul want Titus to be faithful?
Yes.
He did. And so, who is he speaking of in verse 16? It says, they profess. Who's the they refer back to? Talk about that last Sunday. Who is it referred back to?
The unbelievers.
Unbelievers, these that are, what is it?
Defile conscience
people, and they subvert whole houses in chapter, verse 11 and verse 10. Many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, and so on, whose mouths will be stopped. So these are the bad people. Now, they profess. What does profess mean? They speak. All right, what else?
Confess, claim.
Is there a difference between confess and profess?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? Profession? Confess. Yes, Randy?
Confession would be like an authoritative teaching more.
You say confession?
No, profession.
Oh, profession. Okay.
Right.
Confess and profess. All right. What is profess? What's another word for profess? Yeah, Cass, yes, sir?
Like you were professing that you were a Christian, but you're not really one.
Okay, so that would be one way of explaining. In other words, it's
just, another word.
It's not, well, it's not too
saying
with your mouth, profession. Yeah, Tammy?
Well, confession is related to sin.
Confess, if you confess your sin, yeah. In other words, they have the Westminster Confession. What does that mean? The Westminster Confession of Faith, which is the Presbyterians use that. What does it mean, Confession of Faith? What they believe, what you agree. Confession, that sense. Not necessarily confessing sin, but it's what they believe. Now, if someone professes, but they say does not possess, can you have profession without possession of things?
Mm-hmm.
See, that may be what they're talking about. They profess, these people, these unbelievers, false teachers, profess. What do they profess?
That they know God.
But the next, what does it mean to know God? What does that, what does it really mean?
Salvation.
Salvation. How's the only way you can know God?
Mm-hmm.
How's the only way you can know God the Father? To become saved?
What?
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through God the Son. Remember it says, let's say John 14, 6 together. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So nobody can come to the Father except through the Son. So what about the Jews? They say they know God. Can they come to the real God? No, they reject Christ. What about the modernist liberals? Say they know God. Can they come to God without the Lord Jesus? Say he's not a sinless perfect? He's just not born of the Virgin. They deny all these things. Yvonne, you had something? Oh, excuse me. Yeah, go ahead, Yvonne.
This verse, I can't get all out of it. That I may know him, the Father's resurrection, the fellowship of the suffering and all that.
Yes. Be made conformable unto his death. That's right, in Philippians. That I may know him. Yeah, Anne-Marie?
Your Philippians. Question, what is the difference between profession and confession?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, think, to profess something and confess something, maybe think of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes, that's a good word. Confess Christ as Savior and Redeemer. Yes. So here they say that these unbelievers, profess that they know Him, know God, but what is the truth about them? What's the next phrase?
Their life denies
them. Their life and works. They not. How can you deny somebody by your works? How can they deny God if they really believe in God by their works? They can be disobedient. They can live for the devil and all these agencies. But the denial, does God want us to affirm Him not only by our faith, but also by our life?
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to affirm by our life that we should live to please the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say in that Matthew 5 passage? Let your light so shine before men that they may behold see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, that's important. Light so shine. So people are looking. I remember we mentioned this morning in the passage about James. About justice. Abraham was justified by his works because he offered his son. In other words, people like to see what Christians look like and act like. So here, these people, they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. Now, what's the next phrase mean? Being abominable. What does that mean?
It's awful.
Not awful.
Sinful.
Does God call some people abominable?
Yes.
What if we call people abominable? Would they like us?
No.
Oh, are they really abominable if they don't know Christ? Does God call them abominable? See, what God says many times people don't like to be called them, huh?
But the desolation of abomination.
Abomination of desolation, that's spoken by Daniel the prophet.
Yeah.
And
it's bad.
It's bad. And yes, Tammy, then go.
Certain unclean foods
were called
abominable.
Yes. Abominable, yes, Bill?
Homosexuals are abominable.
That's right. It's called in the Old Testament. Homosexuals are abominable. Abomination.
Yes.
And yet the queers, everybody, including our president, are walking all around free and without any problems, see? In fact, we're reading just 2 or 3 days ago in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. What, under the law of Moses, I'm glad we're not living here, but under the law of Moses, what was to happen to homosexuals?
Stoned.
They're killed. Absolutely killed. As adulterers, various others. All kinds of people. People that are Christian mother and father. What's going to happen to them in the Old Testament?
Stoned
and killed as well. See? The death penalty. Can you imagine what this world would look like if all the homosexuals were dead? It's horrible. They're just going on and on and on and on. But abominable. God says they're abominable. What's the next phrase mean? Disobedient. Go on, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was reading the Noah Hutchins up there, and he said that's why the government, some government people, are encouraging homosexuality and praising it because it keeps the population of the world down.
That's a good point. They don't certainly make any more babies, that's for sure. That's for sure. No, see, that's why we were president designated, I think it was the month of June, the homosexual. Homosexual the whole month, see. He's playing up to him. He wants to get elected by more votes for these homosexuals. But these people that are abominable, disobedient, what does that mean?
Not obeying.
Not obeying, all right. Disobedient to whom or to what, do you think?
Everything.
Everything? Mm-hmm. Certainly here would be the scripture, the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation. Disobedient. And the last part, to every good work, reprobate. What is a good work, by the way? How would you define that? Good work?
Good things.
Good things?
Good
actions. Represents the Lord, furthers His kingdom.
Represents the Lord, furthers His kingdom? Yeah, Bill?
You can't do good work unless you're saved.
That's true.
The works follow salvation.
Works should follow salvation. That's right. Let's say Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. That's a good section. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. So works should follow, as Bill said, not saved by works. But here, yeah, Bonnie?
People do good works. Lots of people do better works than I do.
Mm-hmm. But
how can it be said that You can't do good works unless you're saved.
Well, the thing we're getting at is, does God accept those good works for salvation?
Yes,
that's
different.
See, that's it,
yeah,
Bill?
When we do good works, or what we think of good works, if we're doing it of ourselves or by ourselves, it is still human. It is of this world.
Right.
But since we are supposed to be directed by the Holy Spirit, even though we may do wonderful things or what we think is wonderful things for people, it's only under the direction of God that all work, that any work is good. Also, there is not one good man, not one. I forget the verse that one's from.
Yes.
None of us are good people.
And
if we're not, good people, we can't do something which is good because it's not in us.
All right. So the people that do good works, but what does the next phrase, what does the word call these good works in verse number 16?
Reprobate.
What does reprobate mean?
Rejected.
Okay. Not good, not acceptable to the Lord, certainly. So good works people can do. We're not denying that people can do good works. But can good works save you?
No.
No. Yes, Debbie.
When you just said that, and unto every good work reprobate, when you get to heaven, God will say to some, I never knew you. But
uh-huh.
I did this in your name, I did this
yes.
in your name.
Yes.
And he'll say, depart me from the sky, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes along with that line, and unto every good work reprobate. Well, mm-hmm. you may think you're doing all this wonderful,
yes.
great stuff, but until you stand before God, and God says, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yes.
Your works, I didn't know. Because they weren't done with me.
For instance, the Roman Catholic Church and other churches, what are some of the things they say as far as giving offerings for lighting candles, various things? What does the church teach about those quote unquote good works?
Indulgences.
And it's grace.
That's
they get more grace.
They get more grace. In other words, there's a reward. It's offered, but. What is it?
Time off from purgatory.
Time off from purgatory.
Indulgences.
Indulgences and so on. But that's all church tradition, isn't it? Is that in biblical in the Bible?
No.
By the way, questions at bfcbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give us an email. Say you're here. Give us a comment or question. Glad to hear from you. Yes, Randy.
Well, could it be that the so-called good works of, say, the unregenerated person
mm-hmm.
would stand being rejected to true good works. That's the way I take it.
Yes, we reject it, sir.
By comparison, the good works from the Lord would be judgment against the so-called good works of
mm-hmm.
unsaved persons. This is not the right motive, not
all
the
right.
right works, whatever.
That's good, Bill.
There are many, many examples of what people can do which are generally considered to be good.
Mm-hmm.
A life-saving operation by an atheistic doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a good work.
Sure.
But not in the eyes of God.
Right. So, since people are doing a lot of things, but these works of these unbelievers, because in works they deny him, it's reprobate. These are reprobate works. Yes, Ron?
Sometimes I've heard people say he's a reprobate. And that's what a person
mm-hmm.
is. It's not an adjective or
yes.
anything. It's just what he is, a reprobate.
Mm-hmm. That's an adjective.
Yes.
Modifying is?
Kindness?
That's an adjective, yeah. He is a reprobate.
Is it modifying? Yeah,
not, yeah. So that's
it's always the same as.
No, is. No, is. He is.
Okay.
If you see, is as reprobate, but is reprobate, that would be an adjective also. It's a predicate nominative after the verb to be, is.
Well, I haven't
been
in school for a long time.
Yeah.
Let me get an answer. That's right, then. You got it. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
pardon me. I saw that from the record.
Some people.
I do have something else.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went upstairs between lunch and here, and I invited people on Facebook to
mm-hmm.
come, and I told them I take the bulletin at its word.
Yes.
So I told them it was from Titus, the start of Titus 1:17. So if they're looking for the 17th verse, I should have known myself, but it's been a long time since I knew any verse.
All right, we have that confusing secretary thing. We made an assignment this morning earlier saying you had the wrong verse. Galatians 3 should be 1-13. It said Galatians 2. the same secretary made this error as well. I think what that secretary thought was since the last time it was a 16, we probably thought it was a 17. Not looking, see? We have to fire that secretary. So please don't ask. Fire.
I'm the secretary. They're all looking at me.
She's not it. That's right.
I'm the proofreader. I'm the proofreader. Oh, you said secretary. Everything's
wrapped
on here on the verse tonight. I'm the verse
secretary. I said,
yes.
You asked about the hymns. The hymns are all right. This time, I'm not saying that the hymns are all right. I'm not saying the hymns are all right. But we got to get the secretary straightened out. All right. So, reprobate works. So some people say, I want to join a church. They want to think by joining a church, they get to heaven. See? Now, what does the Roman Catholic Church say about their church? How many churches do they recognize? First one. The one church, the only one, is the Roman Catholicism. If you're not in that church, if you leave that church, what do they say about you?
You're lost.
Excommunicated.
Or you're a non-Catholic.
Non-Catholic, and what about heaven? To leave their church.
You don't go.
No. Now, what about those that are in the church? Are they even going to heaven? Unless they're redeemed. Unless they're redeemed, they're not going to heaven either, see? So this the works are reprobate, good works. Any other comments on chapter 1 before we move on to chapter 2 of Titus? My questions would be at bfdbc.org or 856-261-901 and give us a call or give us an email. Chapter 2, we already read 1 and 2. Why is this but in here? What is that word? But. What part of speech is but?
Conjunction.
What kind of a conjunction is it? Now, there are two kinds. There's adversative and there's a conjunctive. This is an adversative, isn't it? Adversative, that's right, it's an adversative. What does an adversative conjunction mean? What does it do? So it's a concept, in opposition to something else. Why is the word what in here? But thou.
As opposed to the gainsayers.
The gainsayers, the heretics, the false teachers, people that are reprobates and abominable, these things. But speak thou. Who's he referring to? Who's the thou? Who's the thou?
Titus,
the pastor. We can apply these things, even though this was directly given to this pastor Titus way back in the early days, in 60 or 55 or 65 A.D., so we can apply these things. We speak directly to this pastor.
Okay.
Speak thou. What things? Verse 1. Things that become sound doctrine. What does the word become mean? Become. There's a worldly song. Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your eyes. That's years ago he used to sing. I don't know whether you're old enough to remember that. Becomes you.
Take care,
you know that one? Moonlight becomes you. You're probably not in this. It's a secular song. It goes with your eyes. Anyway, what does the word become mean? Pardon me to get off on a secular song.
It's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song. What does become mean?
It's one of those
adorn.
Adorn?
Become adorn.
Okay, that's good.
Fit suitable.
Proper, good. He's using his defined things in his Bible and shows that it means proper, becoming, fitting, suitable, speak up. Now, when pastors like Titus speak, Pastor Bishop Ellers speaks, is speaking to the people, is speaking to the church, and I'm sure it's a continuous action, and he's to continue to speak. What kind of things become fitting to sound doctrine? What does sound mean?
Proven.
Dick?
It means true.
True.
It means what the Bible says in general, but what Paul says in specifically in this case.
Yes, in this case.
Did Paul has trained Titus, and now he's reviewing his training and telling him what to do and how to conduct himself, how to teach the people that he's pastoring, and into sound doctrine, the doctrine which has been given to Paul, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of, as Paul has preached in his epistles that we that we have.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, let me ask you this. Do all pastor, bishop, elders in churches today preach and speak sound doctrine?
No.
Why not? Should they speak sound doctrine?
Yes, preachers? They're saved.
If they're saved. Are all preachers saved?
No.
No. Many of them are not. Then why are they preachers? They're not even saved. Why do you think they're preachers?
They went to seminary.
Went to seminary? What else?
They want to help people.
They want to help people on modern, modernistic, moral sort of thing? What else?
Some want numbers, Pastor.
Some want numbers? Some want a salary? Maybe some want more soft job. Can they make preaching a soft job? Mm-hmm. But if you're enthusiastic, is preaching not a soft job, but a very enthusiastic job? Mm-hmm. If you're really doing the right thing. It's not a soft job. They come, there are a lot of ones here, they go once a week, and they sit there, 15, 20 minute sermon, and the people are gone. The rest of the week, the preachers can do what they want to do.
Well, the big denominational churches, they have pretty good salaries.
Yes.
They have good pension plans.
Right.
Good benefits.
Yes.
And they don't have to work only an hour on Sundays.
An hour on Sunday, that's it.
The vacation.
Seven weeks off. That's good.
And many of them don't even have to spend time preparing sermons. They get the sermons off the internet.
That's true. So these a lot of preachers that are Bible-believing Christian preachers sometimes are lackadaisical. We heard a lady last night tell us about a preacher that used to be over here at a church close by. And he would get his message out of a book. And he didn't know the people knew about the book, but he laid the book down one time, and this lady saw the book, read the sermon from the book, remembered what the preacher had been talking about, he got all the sermons in the book, and she exposed that fella, and he's out of the church. I guess they kicked him out. Some preachers have no, they're just copycats of somebody else, which is strange. Yes, Lon?
The same lady told us that she was as a young person, went to a Baptist church, I think it was in Philadelphia area,
mm-hmm.
and the man, that's where Father went, the man did not preach salvation, he just gave talks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the preacher, he was a senior pastor, he got very, very sick.
Mm-hmm.
And his associate pastor visited him in the hospital and led him to the Lord.
Yes.
And when he came back to preach, his sermons were completely changed. He had salvation and everything in it.
That's right.
That's a very moving story.
Very moving story, absolutely. Praise the Lord. But speak the things that become sounds. Now, that's doctrine. What is doctrine? How would you define doctrine?
Teaching,
all right. Do all Christians say that they love doctrine?
No.
A lot of them say we don't want doctrine. In fact, you start preaching doctrine, they're out of there, they leave. Why don't people and Christians like doctrine?
They think it's boring.
Boring?
Yeah. It also tells them the truth on here of where they are and what the problems are.
When?
You have to change by it.
Have to change by it?
Do they really know what the word means? Because this is just a word now that has a bad connotation. And
maybe
they're not
so
aware fully what it is.
Yeah, Bill?
Exposes their sin.
Exposes their sin? Now, that's where a lot of people are talking about Joel Osteen's church. He had to refurbish. How many $1,000s did he have to pay to refurbish that big auditorium?
$100 million.
$100 million. It was a big stadium, wasn't it?
All big stadium.
Big stadium. $100 million. Now, what sort of a gospel and doctrine does he preach? What doesn't he preach?
He's a motivational speaker.
What's it?
Humanistic.
Humanistic, Bill?
Yeah. Entirely humanistic.
Yes, and does he ever talk about people being lost and bound for hell?
No.
That's how Scott is. Now that brings a lot of crowds. Yeah, Bill? And then,
For those who have never watched Joel Osteen, at the beginning of his program, he holds his Bible up in the air, as do everybody in the audience. The Bible contains God's word, and today I will learn from it. Then they put the Bible down and don't even look at it again.
So these are things. Doctrine. A lot of people, they don't like doctrine, teaching. But there's lots of doctrine in Scripture. How many divisions of doctrine are there in Dr. Schaefer's theology book? We have one person here, I'm sure that knows that. He's got five fingers in each hand and he holds two hands up. 10 different divisions, that's right. 10 different doctrinal divisions that he goes into There's eight volume theology, Dr. Schaefer said. You get that?
You know, it's been said, and I think it's true, although I've not tried it. You ask the average person on the street, you say, okay, what church do you go to? Oh, a certain church.
Mm-hmm.
Then ask them what they believe, what that church teaches, mm-hmm. what they believe. Mm-hmm. How many people can tell you that?
Very few.
No wonder.
Yeah. Let's see if we can name those 10 doctrines that Dr. Schaefer puts in his theology book, 8 volume.
Soteriology.
Soteriology means what?
Salvation.
Doctrine of salvation, that's one doctrine. Bibliology means what?
Bible.
Doctrine of the Bible.
So
angelology, doctrine of
angels.
Ecclesiology,
the doctrine of
the
church.
Theology proper
speaks of what? The Trinity and the doctrine of God. That's
theology.
5 out of 10.
Christology,
the doctrine of Christ. Christ.
Numenology,
the doctrine of
the Holy Spirit.
Eschatology, the doctrine of
the
last thing.
Demonology,
the doctrine of demons. Or Satanology, Satan or demonology. One more.
Angel
name.
The doctrine of the Father.
Man.
Anthropology, yes, you got the doctrine of man. There's the 10. That's doctrine, see. A lot of people don't care about any of these things, but these are in the scriptures. They must be taught. And this Pastor Timothy, Titus rather, was told to teach these sound doctrines. And we see through that. Yes, Henry?
I was going to say, we offer the other versions, other than we've got our King James Bible, but they remove that word doctrine a lot and just mm-hmm. make it teaching.
Just make it teaching. That's true. That's good. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email and say hello to us or have some questions or comments. So he's to teach sound doctrine. But by contrast to these other people that are teaching false doctrine, he's to speak the things which become sound. Now,
excuse me. In verse 9 of chapter 1, it says sound doctrine. I just saw that up there.
Okay.
Sound doctrine, being taught that may by sound doctrine, both exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So sound doctrine refutes all this other stuff.
It refutes the gainsayers, refutes the falseness, refutes the heresies of these other people. That's good. Sound doctrine, different places. All right, so then verse 2, what is an aged man?
Mature.
Mature? What else? Could be mature, and what about years?
Older.
Established.
Educated,
maybe. Aged, old. Now, we don't know what the age was, but they died earlier in those days than we die now today, by and large, by average. Maybe they die when they're in their 40s. I don't know. But a man at 50 or 60 would probably be quite aged. Of course, today, you have to be 70 or 80, even a big care of 90, in order to really be aged. Yeah, Bob?
When we were in Africa, I'm in Liberia, visiting there. They called you an old man, and
I was in my 70s.
50s, no.
Was I 50s at that time?
When you were 6 or 56, so you went there. You weren't quite 60 yet, and they called you an old man. Then later.
They died much earlier in Africa, much earlier.
Okay. Yeah, and the old people didn't come out to the meetings. They were stayed back mm-hmm. by the huts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So he's
just, they weren't old at all, the old people.
No. So some of the things he said teach, the sound doctrine, start with the old men. Aged men. What's the first thing he tells them to do? He says, that word means not touching any drink of any kind. That's that word I know, sober. And that's one of the things that we say, that dispensing of alcohol. What's the word, Dan? Do you remember?
Dispensing
of alcohol? All right, I get this. What is it?
The word, what does it mean?
No, the Greek word.
What's the question?
What's the Greek word for non-alcoholic beverages of any kind? I can't think of it about that. Nephalos. Nepho and nephalias. Nepho and nephalias, the Greek word means no alcohol of any kind. This particular word, sulfocrasisover, means that. That's the right Greek word. I remember that from study. So no alcohol of any kind. Well, that's what we use. There's at least 7 verses, maybe 8, that use this nepho or nephalias throughout the New Testament, And some of them have to do with pastors, some with deacons, some with ordinary people like this now, aged men, see. Not just simply pastor people, all Christians should be abstaining from any alcohol of any kind, any source. That's the first thing, aged men. So apparently there were drinkers there. There are people that drunk, who got drunk and so on, and he says, stop it. Preach against it. See, our son, D.A. Jr., was up here several months ago and talked about alcoholism and the back part about it, and had a very good two sessions, morning and afternoon, on drinking and alcohol as a terrible poison and so on. And so we do mention that and speak about it. But do all churches have a stand against alcohol? No, a lot of them, because if they start preaching against alcohol, they lose half the congregation. So, Bill?
Some months ago, Dr. Jasmine mentioned in his magazine that there is a church where they have their meetings in a bar room. They have discussions about the Bible over beer.
Yeah.
And they also have sessions where they talk about, where they help each other in brewing their own beer at home.
It's home golf pub theology.
Well, that's interesting. But first thing is, be sober. No alcohol, beverage, or anything. What's the second thing that the old man is to be?
Brave.
What does brave mean? That 6 feet under?
Serious.
Sober. Serious? Sober, yes, serious. In other words, somber, yes, those are words for grave. What would be the opposite of grave?
Frivolous.
What is it? Frivolous, probably. Hilarious, frivolous, silly, and laughing all the time. That would be grave. In other words, sometimes we can smile and so on, but still, the overall picture, there's a gravity. See, I remember when I was 16, was recently saved as a 16-year-old, and I was sitting around the supper table in Berea, Ohio. I don't know who it was that said it, but they said to me, they said, "You seem so serious." See, I was a 16-year-old. I was saved before I was serious. As an older person, I don't know why they said that. I don't know whether it was true or not, but that was their opinion as they listened to us. But grave. In other words, there's got to be some gravity about us. Old people, old men especially. They're not just frivolous and silly and no word. What's this third thing that Titus is speaking about, sound doctrine to the old man?
Temperate.
What does temperate mean?
Of sound mind, sane.
Sound mind, sane. What else?
Self-control.
All right, these are all enkratia, is the word. They grasp a great grabbing hold of yourself to be controlled. Temperate. Now, what does the people sometimes use this to refer to?
Abstaining from alcohol.
Okay, and but some of them redefine that.
Temperance movement from back in the 30s.
Okay, that's what. But now they've redefined the temperance movement, abstaining from alcohol, into what?
I don't know.
What do they say now? Instead of complete abstention from alcohol, just be temperate.
Moderate, social.
In other words, not too much, not too little, but temperate in your drinking. Just drink maybe instead of taking five, whatever you're drinking, just drink one. Temperate, that's what they say. That's what they used to be abstaining. Temperance movement was abstaining. WCTU, is that it? Women's
Christian Temperance.
Yes.
Back in the 30s. They had kind of a theme song. The tune was the same as Maryland by Maryland, if you remember that.
Oh, really?
But part of the words were taste not, handle not.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, sing that for us, Dick?
No, I can't remember that word.
Oh, the tune.
I remember the touch, not taste, not handle,
okay.
Not.
Okay. That was a temperance movement.
Yeah.
What happened to that movement? Did it last?
No, it was repealed.
It was repealed. And then what happened?
Another amendment.
So anyway, temperance. Now, in other words, self-control, controlling ourselves. Nobody else can do it, so we got to control ourselves. What's the next thing that the old men were to be told?
Sound and faith.
Sound and faith. What does that mean? Anna, I'm sure that will have an article in it, but I'm not sure it didn't refer to it. Do you have your Greek text there, Tangie?
It's back.
Back there, okay. sound in probably the faith, would be my guess. But the translator, and I don't need the article in English, sound in faith. But if it is the faith, what would that have reference to? If it's the faith, if the article is there, what does that mean?
What we believe. So
what we believe. The doctrines, so on. You got that, Wayne?
Yeah, the conviction of the truth of anything, belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things.
But do you have a Greek there?
Yes,
it's strong. Oh, what? Is it? Is an article with it or no? You don't know what that is. Hannah's still looking at it for us.
Translation of
chapter.
Is that all on your telephone?
Chapter 2, he's got
it. Yeah, in faith is one Greek in word.
Hannah's got it over there, chapter 2 and verse number 2. Titus 2, too, if you're looking up the Greek chief of an article, if it's pistis, or just pistis, which is faith, we'll see which one it is.
I have so, B written in there.
It's pistis.
But is it the article there?
Anna, strong along? Light, maybe the full strong is split in the article.
I have written down the body of truth.
The body of truth, you wrote it down there, so it must have been there when I preached to it. I probably said it with B faith, Anna.
Take this day.
That's exactly right. It's a B faith is there. That's a Greek word, E deep, meaning the articles, the doctrines that we believe, the sound in the faith. Now, are all old men sound in the faith?
No.
Why not?
Some of them.
Should they be sound in the faith?
Yes.
That's what the title is supposed to preach, right?
I didn't know it.
Well, what's the matter with old men? Why aren't they sound in the faith?
Because they weren't sound in the faith when they were
young. All right. Are all young men sound in the faith?
No.
Well, what does it take to be sound? Yeah,
well, back up a bit.
Okay.
Come to this.
I just
old men. Old men, are, you'll find this a lot of the time, an elderly man, or woman for that matter, are not sound in the faith simply because they've taught some kind of an error all their lives. Mm-hmm. And the further they go, the older they get, the more they believe what they've been taught all their lives, and it's practically impossible to get them to see the truth.
That's a good point. What does it take for a young man or older man, either one of them, to be sound in the faith? What does it take? What's the first thing it takes?
Salvation.
Salvation to be saved, that's the first thing. What's the second thing after they're saved?
Willing to learn.
What's the third thing?
Studying.
Look at the Bible. Man's got a Bible up there. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible. And then after the study, the fourth thing?
Conviction
and applying that thing which they're reading and obeying. That's it. To be sound, to be healthy and strong in the faith. And so, just because you've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, does that necessarily mean you're sound in the faith?
No.
Not at all. You find some Christians that have been Christians for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years that very rarely, if at all, read their Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some people that way, all right? And young Christians coming along, pastors are encouraging them to read their Bible. Genesis, Revelation, they can. Once a year, we like to encourage our people, but they don't. Yeah, Bill?
Remember that time that I got baptized over at the Bible Church in Westville. I noticed that there were a number of Bibles on the seats, and I asked about it, and they belong to people that go to the church. They pick up their Bible on Sunday. Otherwise, the whole week they're wherever they are without their Bible.
I see. Maybe said so, one that sold him that was their own Bible. Who
was
buying
it? Yeah, no, it wasn't the church's Bible.
No.
They had two Bibles.
They have one there.
Oh, they have another one at home.
Okay. It's possible.
Well, it's possible. That's true. Well, they may have another one at home. That's true. But
also heard people say that you talk to them about the Lord or about salvation, about true doctrine, and they say, oh, I believe what my granddad believed. What's good for my granddad is good enough for me.
That's interesting. In order to be sound in the faith, you have to know the faith. Am I right? You have to know the faith. The only way to know it is to read the scriptures and find out what the faith talks about and then obey it to be sound and healthy. So sound in faith. What's the next thing about the old man? Sound in what else? Anna, you got something? Yeah. Questions at bspbc.org, 856-261-9018. What's it mean? Charity, that's right, charity. What does that mean?
Love.
Love, all right. How can someone be sound in love? That's what he's talking about, sound in love. Christian love, charity. Love for the brethren, all right. What is it?
Love for the Lord.
Love for the Lord, all right. Sound in love, in charity. A lot of people are unsound. What would be an unsound charity? Unsound charity would be what?
How can you have unsound charity when the charity is...
Well, if you redefine charity into sexual love, some other kind of Christian love, that would be unsound, certainly, in charity.
Agape.
Yeah. Yes. Agape versus other types of eros and collateral different things.
Those but, the S, remember
the
N?
Stroke.
Yeah, I never heard
the S. Stroke, right. So, be sound in Christian love. What did the Lord Jesus say about loving the brethren? By this, so all men know that you are my disciples if ye have love one another. So this is the love of the brethren is a test of true discipleship. What's the next saying that the old men are to be sound in?
Patience.
What is patience? How would you define patience? Is that the things that the doctors have?
No.
Steadfastness.
Steadfastness.
Endurance.
Constantly. Endurance. All right. Do all old men have patience?
No.
No, they're not. Do all young men have patience?
No.
Do all old women have patience?
No.
Do all young women have patience?
No.
This is something difficult. What is it?
That's probably the hardest one of them all.
Hardest one of them all, patience. Now, how would you define patience? You have to get these different words for it, but give me some examples of patience.
Enduring hardship, trials, or pain or suffering would be patience also.
All right. What does a patient person, patient old man or young man or old woman or young woman, what does a patient person do or not do under certain circumstances? And what are the circumstances?
Not
trials.
Trials, right. What does a patient person do in trials?
They hope in God.
They hope in God? What do they do with their mouth?
Give it shut.
Give it shut, right?
Maybe they praise the Lord.
Maybe they praise the Lord with their mouth, but do they complain about things?
They don't yell at their children.
They don't yell at their children, their mother, their wife, whoever's around to yell at. What was the Old Testament main man of patience?
Job.
Why does God say, remember the patience of Job?
Because of the standing.
Yes.
Well, he most notably, I think, he did not blame God or revile. I mean, his Creator, he didn't come against his Creator.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said.
Amen.
Job. His wife had another view. What she said. We got a question here. Then right back to you.
You first.
All right, then, and then we'll go to Stoney.
Waiting for the Lord to do something, you know, like with the rain, you know, you waited on the Lord patiently.
Mm-hmm.
The rain, not in the space of, you know, so many
3.5 years.
Yes. Elijah.
Again, so there was a waiting there on God.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, waiting, patience is that he's waiting, and not being. Well, righteous. You know, I remember I was expecting butter one time, and it took 8 days for butter to get to where I wanted to get. So it was not a very patient time for me. But anyway, okay. It wasn't even my letter. But
the contents of the butter
wasn't even what he wanted it to be. Oh, okay. Wayne, you got something? Oh, for patience. Well, yeah, because Joe really had to endure a lot, and so he didn't curse God during the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And endure physical pain,
mm-hmm.
financial, and lost all his children.
Yes.
So tremendous mental, spiritual, because, you know, why'd you do this? You got it. Why'd you allow it? You know, the turmoil in there, but he didn't curse God, but he knew he was righteous.
Right. Righteous man. He was. Yes, Dick?
Thinking about the solo this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And
He stood at my heart's door in sunshine and rain and patiently waited an entrance to gain.
Yes,
and also in Romans 5, not only so, but I glory in tribulations also, for tribulation worketh patience,
mm-hmm.
and patience experience, and experience hope.
Yes, good verses. Yes, Anna's got something, and then back to Brandon.
Hello and good afternoon to everyone. We are listening here from California, from Joe and Norma Fassio.
That's right, that's Joe and Norma Fassio from California. Should we wave to them? Okay, thank you. Joe and Norma, thank you for that greeting. Any other questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018? Someone had a hand up. Who was that? Oh, yeah, Randy.
Maybe, and not coming against people that come against us.
All right, that would be good for patients. Is it difficult or easy to have patience?
Yeah,
I would say it's quite difficult.
It depends.
Yes,
it's something that comes with time.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So these aged men ought to have more time than others. Yes, Debbie?
When I was thinking, what he's teaching us here is, the older teach the younger, mm-hmm. and sometimes the younger want to run faster. You have to have patience to know mm-hmm. when they make the mistakes. Okay, you can't, mm-hmm. wring their necks over it. You have to have that patience, that charity, that love for them, mm-hmm. that they're going to grow up in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So the older they had to pull back, saying, "You know the truth, you know it, mm-hmm. you want to tell them, but you can't shove it down the throat either.
Right.
You have to have that patience, saying they'll take it and they'll eat on the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Each time that patience is just
Very good. Yes, Bob and Dick.
Cass is right. You learn patience through time,
mm-hmm.
and older person. A patient older person understands patience and waiting. Because I remember my mom, when she came to help me when I had my last child, and my legs were bothering me some and everything, and she had to go home, and I said, "Mother, what if you have to go before I get better?" And she says, "Well, we'll see." She was older. And not that much older like I am now, but she had lived long enough to know how health works and everything. And there's somebody we're supposed to pray for, and I can't remember who it is. It's probably written down someplace. And I remember it's a very, very difficult request that we have to wait on God for the answer and for it to work out. I can't remember who it is. Fortunately, I can't remember. I probably threw it out.
Huh?
But in praying, we have to learn patience.
Okay, Tammy and then Dick.
I don't know that it's so much our age as much or the time. It has more to do with our trusting the Lord in our trial.
That's good.
If we don't trust the Lord in our trial, we could be 190 years old, and we still don't have patience.
All right. And Dick?
Well, that's one of the primary qualities of a teacher is patience. Sometimes with a slow student, a good teacher has to just go over and over and over, mm-hmm. repeat and repeat and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be a private instructor such as my experience in piano teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be instruction in the place of a Bible teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the Bible itself. How many times does the Bible repeat the same truth over and mm-hmm. over and over?
Yes.
And that's a sign of patience. But they're slow to catch on, and
mm-hmm.
we need repetition to finally grasp it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Cass?
I was just, from my own case myself with that patience, you're not, a younger person, is not that I'm disputing anybody else, but a
mm-hmm.
younger person who hasn't lived through life and the trials and tribulations that go with life, because Vi and I would agree, because of our age, there's
mm-hmm.
many, many, many things that we have to go through. And if we can't trust the Lord and have patience to go through these things, He gives us the patience, but we have to trust Him for that. And there is things, you yourself know it's at your age, that you do go through a lot of different things. Death, children, sickness, all kinds of things. But you don't have a lot when you're young,
mm-hmm.
so that's why God brings you through that and gives us the patience.
That's very good. Anne Marie and Dick.
I was wondering, with patience, could it also be even the tone of voice that it's used?
Could be.
And I was thinking Proverbs, a soft answer turneth to wrath.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Yes, that's good. What are some of the things in this life in which you live right now, currently, 2012, that might be very difficult to be patient about? Can you name some illustrations of that?
Sure.
A bit?
Well, looking for a job.
All right, that's one thing. Any other things that it's difficult for patients?
Just finances in general.
Finances in general? Yes.
The condition of our country and where we're being taken.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray for patients to get through
patients
it.
To get through it. Also, Anna?
We're sometimes just trying to put up with our newfangled technology.
Okay. Now, what technology do you have in mind? It's very difficult.
Computers.
Computers. All right. Wayne is a computer genius. He's working computers and programming computers. Does that teach you a little patience, Wayne?
Yeah, because it can frustrate you pretty fast.
It frustrates you pretty fast. And I know people that get upset if their computer's running too slow or if it's doing this or that. You know, they just blow up. And, but I tell you, if you browse the computer long enough, you know that you can't talk back to the computer. It won't listen to you. You just have to wait to see, do what it wants to do, and you just wait patiently for it. I mean, that's it. So these older men, to be silent in faith and charity and patience. All right, now we'll go to the old women. We better read that, first of all. Let's read 3, 4, and 5. Chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. Let's read that together. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not drinking too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Part number 3, aged women. Who would that apply to? What kind of age do you think is involved with that?
What age
it meant? 60 and up, maybe. Maybe 60 and up, something because of the old age and when they died earlier. Probably Paul might have been 60 when he died, so on, and Timothy may have been 40 or 50, and Titus probably 40 or 50. But so the age of women, first of all. So just now, let me ask you this. Here's a pastor saying that he should speak these things, they become sound doctrine. And he goes to the age of men first, then he goes to the age of women. Do women appreciate being told by a pastor, bishop, elder, the things that become sound doctrine necessarily? Do all women appreciate being taught the scriptures?
No.
No, should they appreciate that?
Yes.
And so Titus was commissioned as a preacher, pastor, bishop, elder, to do some things. Not only the aged, now let me ask you this, do the aged men like to hear pastors and preachers to preach, telling about them what they do to become sinners. The age of men don't like it either, a lot of times. But here this young pastor, I don't know his age, 40, 50 maybe, Titus, is to teach the aged men older than he to do certain things. And that's important. And so the same way with the age of women. Likewise, what does likewise mean?
Just like the men.
Just like the men, in like manner. That they may be, first of all, what? What does behavior mean?
Yeah,
okay.
Lifestyle.
Lifestyle, manner of life.
Their conversation.
Their conversation, what they do. So how should their behavior, their lifestyle be?
Holy.
As becometh holy. Then becometh means what? Moonlight becomes your ghost of your hair. What is it? It's fitting. Something is fitting. Something fitting becometh holiness. What is holiness?
Separated
unto the Lord. Pure. With reverence. With the good, being good, has become with holiness. What What makes you holy, if you are holy?
Separated from the world.
Separated from the world?
The word is presence of the Lord.
What is it?
The presence of the Lord.
Who does God consider to be holy? Traditionally holy?
Saints.
Born again Christians. Saved believers. Only ones are to be holy. The world, he does not consider to be holy. They're unholy until they come to Christ. So, as it becometh holiness, if they're holy, they ought to become. They ought to live lives of pleasing and purity and decency and good things. Well, now, he lists some of these good behaviors that will become and go with and be fitted to holiness. What's the first behavior that they should be careful?
Not false accusers.
What is an accuser? What does that mean, an accuser?
Could
be slander. False accuser. Now, when you accuse someone truly, it wouldn't be a false accusation. But a false accusation, that would be, it would be slanderous and libelous, depending on whether it's written or spoken. And what does that signify that possibly some of these older women were? Well, if he's saying they shouldn't be, maybe...